This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Minnesota Representative Angie Craig, ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with ranking member Angie Craig next. America's 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers count on a strong U.S. sugar policy to keep American consumers supplied with an essential ingredient. Better yet, it's designed to cost taxpayers nothing. These farmers support more than 151,000 jobs throughout the sugar supply chain in both urban and rural communities. They contribute over $23 billion to the economy each year and help keep it sweet in America. Learn how the Farm Bill supports sugar crop farmers and workers at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. By a single vote, the House GOP approved a reconciliation bill which includes significant cuts to the nation's nutrition programs and improvements in the farm safety net. House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig doesn't agree with the Trump administration's assessment of the nation's economy or the use of tariffs.
Well, look, since this is open mic, I'm just going to say what I'm thinking here. And look, you can smell that manure a mile away. You know what we are saying here. And look, I mean, what my producers want is they want markets. They don't want, you know, government programs except for as a safety net. They don't want across-the-board tariffs that are taking away export markets. I know there are a lot of people across the country who want to give the president some time, and I appreciate that. I hoped, like a lot of you, that at the beginning of this it would be a lot of bluster, but unfortunately we got a lot of stuff going on, from across the board tariffs to a focus on reconciliation instead of a farm bill, and in fact doing damage to a potential farm bill as a result of that. So right now, what I'm seeing out there in farm country, it's not great.
Many would say that the trade platform was not balanced even as we entered this administration, and something needed to be done. The question is, what is that something, and what position do you feel like we've put ourselves in now with the strong arm of tariffs?
Well, I would agree with anybody who said that the last administration, a Democratic administration that, was my own party, did not focus enough on expanding trade and building new export markets for producers. I was one of the Democrats complaining the loudest about the fact that we were not out there actively looking for additional trade opportunities. We had some good work underway from a domestic markets perspective, you know, whether it's sustainable aviation fuel for the future, whether it's, year-round E15, which, of course, we thought we had in that final bill at the end of the year. Some of that was going well. But right now, tariff whiplash is causing a lot of uncertainty in farm country and in the manufacturing, retail, and energy sectors. And my concern is this time around, our producers went into this new administration in a lot different shape than they went into the first Trump administration, which, by the way, I worked with. He signed four of my bills into law during his first term. But with low commodities prices, with high input costs from coming out of COVID, producers are just not in as sound a shape as they were the first time around with the trade wars. And we're already seeing many of our export markets go elsewhere, even faster than they did the first time around. So I'm concerned that, tariffs are not just going to, retaliatory tariffs are going to cause harm, of course, to our producers, but tariffs are going to increase prices on everything from the food we eat to the fuel farmers put in the tractors. And of course, every sector of our economy is being impacted this time around. Last time around, retaliatory tariffs, we were able to do a market facilitation payment and, at least keep farmers on stable ground. But this time you got just about every industry out there coming into my office saying, what about us? And I think that's going to create some real challenges down the road.
It seems to be an assumption by the administration that if there needs to be market facilitation program payments, that those will go out. Well, in order for those to go out from the Commodity Credit Corporation, Congress is going to need to provide additional funds to the CCC. And in this reconciliation environment, is that a slam dunk?
Well, I don't think any of it's a slam dunk. That's exactly right. There's only about $4 billion in the CCC. And last time the payments were, $27 billion. And of course, it's still untold damage from the tariffs here yet to be determined this time around, just to the ag economy. So, look, we need to do a lot of things here for our family farmers. We need a 5-year 12 title farm bill. We were close in the last Congress, but we need to make sure that our producers have markets to sell into the long term. I worry about a country where our public policy seems focused on just, let's have bad policy that makes competition harder for our producers, and then, we'll just give you a payment here at the end of each year. I'm not sure how you plan for the next planting season based on that, and I can tell you right now, I'm still looking at bins in Minnesota full of corn because last season's commodities have not been sold. So it's a rough time right now, and there's lots of uncertainty for sure.
We have no shortage of issues, and I wish we had an unlimited amount of time to talk. But it seemed that the day after the reconciliation bill came through the House by the one-vote margin, the headlines jumped to the Maha Commission report, and that sort of washed everything out. How much authority does a Maha Commission have over government agencies like the EPA and like the Department of Agriculture and the Congress that wrote many of the policies that these two agencies are facilitating?
They shouldn't have any control over anything. That commission is led by a man who last week said that he didn't think people should be taking medical advice from him. And I happen to agree with that. I don't think they should be taking food production advice from Robert Kennedy either. So, I think it's great that there's growing interest in improving our overall health. And of course, we need to look into how food contributes to our health. But, the report itself was very ambitious. There's lots of brilliant nutritional scientists and ag scientists working every single day on these issues in our country. But, the problem is I'm not sure how many of those actual scientists help write that report. And, this is one of the biggest complaints I'm hearing from producers across Minnesota is, Robert Kennedy seems to have an outsized influence, over this administration. And, I know that Secretary Rollins is doing a focused on the things that she believes is correct. But boy, I just wouldn't accept anything coming out of the Kennedy, agency here, as it comes down to food production. I hope that, hope we're relying on scientists, and I sure as hell hope that, Congress will both on both sides of the aisle will insert itself if the agencies, get too much license with no scientific data to affect our, ag producers and food production in our country.
I note that Secretary Rollins is on the Maha Commission. And I note that EPA Administrator Zeldin is on the Maha Commission. I'll ask USDA first and then EPA. This report singled out crop insurance and singled out farm programs as need for improvement. Those farm programs were approved by Congress and given to USDA, and the Maha Commission says they're not correct.
Well, if that's what they say, let's have a good adjudication of that through regular order. When USDA is making, you know, the decision to implement the programs that Congress puts in place, you know, that's their job, is to implement what we put in place. And if you want to make improvements to crop insurance, if you want to make improvements to the nutrition title, you know, I'm open to those ideas and conversation, but let's do that in a farm bill. Let's do that through regular order. You know, we don't need a commission where obviously there are a number of individuals who may or may not be qualified to be on that commission putting out a report and then telling EPA and USDA to do anything. Let's do that through regular legislative order.
So in the text of the report, it admits the USDA pesticide data program found that 99% of food samples tested in 2023 were compliant with the EPA's safety limit. It goes further. Federal government reviews of epidemiological data for the most common herbicides did not establish a direct link between use of those according to the label and adverse health outcomes. Yet this report targets glyphosate and atrazine, which have been registered and re-registered for decades through our FIFRA program and through the Environmental Protection Agency.
Well, there's no science in this report, and that's the problem. Look, I'm trying to be nice to, I guess, too nice at this moment. I think, you know, the MAHA Commission would be a good idea if it were being run by people who actually were looking at science and was being, you know, the outcome of that scientific data was being followed in the advice and council. Right now, it appears that the MAHA Commission is actually basing its conclusions on no science at all. So, I just hope this commission report is taken for what it is. But frankly, I'm hearing in the background from a lot of folks talking to the administration that certainly Robert Kennedy and this commission may have a lot more influence over the EPA and USDA than I think any of us are going to be comfortable with.
Well, I respect the former Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, and he was quick to point out that when he was dealing with the EPA or other agencies, I stay in my lane. I don't tell them what to do, but we do work together. There are a number of influential agriculture senators who put stock behind the secretary of HHS. But now this secretary, through this commission report by executive order from the White House, is apparently has the power to criticize two agencies who, again, are implementing policy approved by the People's Congress.
Well, that's exactly right. The outsized influence that he seems to be playing here with the administration is incredibly concerning. And if it were my agency I was running, I'd tell him to get back in his lane. Because, you know, this is, something that if you're going to be the Secretary of Ag or if you're going to be, the EPA Secretary, you ought to be able to push back. And we saw this with the Biden administration a little bit. It, you know, they'd have their debates and discussions behind closed doors, and sometimes EPA would win the battle of the day, and sometimes USDA would win the battle of the day over specific or certain issues. And, never have we seen sort of an outsized influence like this we're seeing with the MAHA Commission. And, you know, with Zeldin and with Rollins on the commission itself, you know, there should be an opportunity, frankly, more of an opportunity to influence what this commission is working on in its ultimate report that seems to be the case here. But a lot of my producers are not so happy with the level of power that the MAHA Commission seems to have been granted.
Reconciliation came through the House by one vote majority. And in that, significant changes to the tax code that many in small business and agriculture were pleased with. You know, and I've talked to more than one farmer, even on this show recently, that said, you know, we don't care how, just get us a farm bill. Just get us something. And then there is an improvement for the safety net. I'm not sure that it's everything that every farm group wants, but it does include, as you have outlined more than once, some pretty significant cuts to nutrition programs. So what about the process, Ms. Ranking Member? What about the process and how should it be different than it is? And what do we do now?
Well, look, talking about how it should be different, that's exactly how I started my comments in reconciliation, is I expected my first markup with the chairman to be marking up a farm bill. You know, I started out my tenure as ranking member for Democrats sitting down with the chairman to say, look, we were only $27 billion short from a five-year 12-title farm bill in the last session of Congress. I wasn't in leadership at that moment in time, but our first meeting, I said, look, I think we can get there. You know, let's start with the farm bill from last Congress. You know, your side come with ways to improve it. My side come with ways to improve it. And I was asked by Zippy Duval recently to you know, what are my ideas on how we would achieve some cost savings to get there. And I started out with, you know, the National Clearinghouse. I felt like from the start I could get to $19, $20 billion in cost savings that would get us nearly to the $27 billion we were short of the farm bill last time. So that's where my mind started, was I'm ready to get a farm bill done. And instead of working on a farm bill as sort of the highest priority of a Republican-led Congress and Republican administration, we started with, well, let's just cut one title of the farm bill by $300 billion, plus up a few other things by about $60 billion, and call it a day. And so, you know, that's not going to allow us to get a full five-year 12-title farm bill done when you start with let's cut $300 billion from the farm bill outside of the farm bill process altogether. And by the way, you know, when you do it this way, you're leaving several titles of the farm bill on the chopping room floor. You know, you look at, to me, rural development is a huge part of my focus in greater Minnesota, and my focus in the ag community and ag committee. And, you know, this is a part of the process that, you know, we should be talking about. And look, you know, the changes they want to make to SNAP, they started out with no cuts to benefits. Well, the CBO says we're going to get somewhere between 3 and 4 million people booted from the program altogether as a result of how they're going about reconciliation. So, look, it puts us in a tough spot. If Republicans had had the votes in the House to get a farm bill across the finish line by themselves in the last Congress, then we would have voted on a farm bill, but they never even brought it to the House floor. The truth is they need Democratic votes, and they're making it awful tough to come back for me to find it.
So the chairman of the committee, Glenn Thompson, when he was before the farm broadcasters, said the ideal was to make this initial in reconciliation, quote unquote, down payment, and then come back and do the rest of the farm bill later. Congresswoman, if reconciliation is the way to get this much done, what's the hope for a bipartisan rest of the bill before the end of the year?
Well, are they going to restore the $300 billion they're taking out of SNAP in the next step? I don't think so. Basically, they're cutting $300 billion from the farm bill, taking $60 billion of it, plussing up other programs, and then at the end of the day, handing the other $240 billion over for tax breaks to the top 10% in the country. And at the end of the day, if you step back from this bill we're working on, it's the single largest redistribution of wealth in our nation's history, taking from the bottom 10% of our nation and giving to the top 10% in our nation. Most of my producers, they're not in the top 3%. They're not millionaires and billionaires. If we were talking about a tax bill that, you know, taxed the wealthy, the richest among us, appropriately, and then let's give that to producers and family farmers, that'd be something altogether different than what we're talking about here. But I don't know. It makes it really hard to be able to get what I guess they would call a skinny farm bill done when you just took $300 billion from one title of the farm bill, and then you come back and you say, well, let's do the rest of the farm bill here. Well, the rest of the farm bill, includes the nutrition title. That's what that Farm Bill Coalition has looked like. And look, I mean, you know, Chairman Bozeman over in the Senate, he was given a target of $1 billion, and he doesn't really love a bunch of the other things we did in the bill. So, you know, I don't know what votes they want me to find at this point when, you know, you're talking about passing a farm bill with $230 billion in cuts to one title of the farm bill. Let's imagine a scenario where, you know, under a different circumstance, one of the other titles of the farm bill got cut $300 billion to pay for plus up of, you know, some other priority in the farm bill that Democrats might have. You know, that'd be a tough situation then to come back to my Republican colleagues and ask them to support something down the road. So I've been warning from the start that if this is the way this ends up, and let me be clear about it, we don't know how this is going to end up yet. And that's why, Jeff, I have always said I'm going to stay at the table. I'm going to keep listening. My sincere hope is that we are able to get a 5-year, 12-title farm bill across the finish line, because I'm not entirely sure that what passed the House isn't dead on arrival over in the Senate right now.
I had a conversation last year with North Dakota Senator John Hoeven, and he pointed out that nutrition tied to inflation and therefore the spending on that goes up. Agriculture programs, not. But I also recall a conversation with the late Charlie Stenholm from Texas, who said a long time ago that the U.S. needed to get its fiscal house in order. So now we're in a situation, you talk about cutting SNAP, that there are more people food insecure today than there was during COVID. And you have farmers working with a safety net that is barely at, if not below, the cost of production. And the question is, can the country afford to do what it needs to do now to satisfy and help the producer and the hungry?
Well, Jeff, we apparently can afford another $3.6 to $4 trillion in debt for the tax bill. I mean, you look at over a 10-year period of time, the bill that Republicans just put through the House is estimated to add I think some estimates even have it going as high as $5 trillion added to the national debt. Now, I'm not arguing that we should be adding to the national debt, but to give tax breaks to billionaires, apparently we can add debt to the country. But what about producers? Why does that need to break even? What about hungry Americans? Why does that need to break even? So part of this is about what are the nation's priorities? Our producers, to me, are a very high priority. Plussing up these programs would cost about $60 billion. So let's go find that in our country. Not just from one program in the Farm Bill. The nutrition title, apparently they found $300 billion they could cut from that. But as a nation, you know, step back for a second and say, what are our priorities as a country? The Farm Bill and the safety net programs are there for farmers in bad times if we need them. Why are we putting forward tariffs that are causing more pressure to the farm economy? Why don't we step back and, you know, make the environment better for the production of sustainable aviation fuel? Why don't we step back and say, let's have year-round E15 nationwide so that the infrastructure gets built? Let's focus on building these markets, because the farmers I talk to, they would rather have markets than the safety net programs altogether. The families that I talk to on SNAP, they would rather have a minimum wage that's not $7.25 an hour. Why don't we step back and actually start to support the things, the policies in our country that make the farm programs less needed and make SNAP less needed in our country?
Well, Ms. Ranking Member, we're out of sand in the hourglass, and we're moving to the end of the program here. I thank you sincerely for the opportunity to have this conversation. I appreciate the dialogue. It is open mic, And today you've got the microphone.
Well, thank you so much. I would just say that, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do one complaint and one thank you. My first complaint is this bill we did last week was done in the middle of the night for three or four nights in a row. And just the cover of darkness is never where you want to do the nation's business. And then secondly, I just want to say thank you, the producers in Minnesota and across our nation who continue to let me know where I need to focus my attention every single day. And I promise you I'm going to stay engaged and we're going to try to get this sorted. And you'll see probably a lot of nonsense in between here and there. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that our producers are successful in this country.
Our thanks to Representative Angie Craig, the ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nellie.